So today we're talking about the creative side of trading, how storytelling and authenticity are changing how Africa learns, connects, and trades. Joining me today are two creators and experts in that space, Mr. Nathan, Mr. Alex. Thank you guys for coming all the way to join us. We're really happy to have you and hear a little bit more about your story and how you operate.
Thank you.
Hi, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, welcome, guys. So let's jump in. And Nathan, if you could describe what drives your content in one word, what would that be?
The word would be clarity.
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 Okay.
Clarity is the foundation of trading. Clarity of mind builds traders. It's as soon as when a person is cleared up here, mm-hmm. that they can obviously function better as a trader.
Okay.
So the word is clarity for me.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So Alex,
yes.
Describe what drives your content in one word.
My word would be value. So what I ask myself first before creating content is what value that content is going to bring on board.
That's amazing. Clarity, you know, that I find that to be so interesting just because this is a very noisy and loud kind of marketplace. So clarity, no doubt, is instrumental for anybody's success. And Alex, obviously, creating value is the name of the game. It's the most important thing and what everybody's looking for. So it's clear why you guys are so successful because you obviously have, you know, very focused visions.
Sure.
So Nathan, how would you say that you balance education with entertainment?
So top priority is education first, but again, in a sense, to make it more relatable, like I package it in that way. I kind of feel like most people don't learn through formulas. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll say most just to, you know, generalize it, mm-hmm. but they learn through feelings. They learn through relatable scenarios. And it's through those situations and, you know, that they actually get to learn. So I try to like just, and there's a word for it in my world. I call it valuetainment. So it's kind of like providing value and still keeping it entertaining.
Was your model always like that? Or did you kind of evolve as you felt that the kind of audience was not necessarily engaging with the pure education?
Well, I think it took me a while to actually evolve because I remember once upon a time, I would just do it like so strictly professional. Not like I don't do it professional, but again, just like in a way that was strictly teaching in
school.
Like a school class
sure.
setup.
Yeah.
But later on, I realized when I make it relatable, it attracts somebody's attention and they get the value from it in the process when it's actually being delivered.
Do you find that these traders that have come from this kind of valuetainment perspective that you're doing, do you find that they are more successful just because they have absorbed the information better? Or do you find any difference in the shift of client behaviors with this new style?
I find it shift by big deal because I kind of feel like it's made it easy for them to comprehend the complex world of trading.
Got it.
And it's when they feel like they're entertained that they pick a lesson in the moment. And it happens in a blink of a second. So right. I find the biggest shift from that.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Alex, from your end, how would you say that you balance education with entertainment?
Yeah, so I often call that edutainment.
Edutainment.
Yeah, okay. That would be my word.
So we have valuetainment, edutainment.
Yeah.
Sure. Nice.
So we keep learning every day, even in our daily lives. So especially creating content, I have to make it relatable, you know, and incorporate humor. But I do make sure that the humor doesn't dilute my message. So when I do that, I notice my audience don't feel like these are things they should do, rather things they want to do.
Got it.
Yeah.
For you though, Alex, what would you say is the difference between a trading video and financial storytelling?
I feel like a trading video has more of the prices, the technicals, the stop losses and all that. Okay. Rather, a storytelling is something that has visuals, it's a story, it's a narration. And for me, I go with a financial story
yeah.
rather than a trading video because people will relate more into that.
Can you combine both though?
Yeah, sure, through creativity.
Through creativity?
Yeah.
And Nathan, for yourself, training video and financial storytelling, do you see there's a difference or do you separate them completely?
I do separate them, a big deal. And my separation here is a trading video provides more of information, charts, candles, you know, more of the technical side of trading. But on the other end, an entertainment video would obviously leave a mark of emotions. It will leave a mark of basically transformation, right? Storytelling. And it's that transformation that is the biggest separation. Because on one end, you're getting education or you're getting information. On one end, you're getting, you know, transformation, which is basically what leaves the mark.
So, Nathan, you once said trading is a mirror. Like, trading is a mirror. How do you use content to reflect that? To show not just charts, but the mindset?
So basically, I create content that reflects the mindset of a trader, who the trader is before the charts. More of whatever you've gone through in the past is a direct reflection of what you are today. If you've had ego problems, if you've had fear problems, you were traumatized in your past, it's a direct reflection of what you obviously would be experiencing when it comes down to the real world of trading, right? And I try to draw a thin line because I want to maintain the same discipline that has helped me, you know, get rid of my egos, get rid of my fears and so on and so forth. Yeah, so it's more of, it is a mirror in that sense, if you look at it.
Absolutely fascinating. I've been doing this for a while. I've never heard that type of approach to it. So you feel that basically people's underlying kind of insecurities or issues, whatever you want to call it, that reflects in their
trading.
Okay. Yeah. So how do you actually help people identify what these are? Because in many cases, a lot of people aren't even aware of their shortcomings or challenges. So do you actually work with each trader to identify what their potential trading issues can be?
So I do have workshops. They're called psycho trade workshops. Okay. So we kind of mix up trading and psychology. So I bring a person around, and of course, I want to let them experience trading itself, because we can identify what problems they have and what, you know, traumatic experiences I've had in the past, just right then in the moment.
Naturally.
I kind of feel like it has to do with letting them experience trading first. It's when they take those losses. It's when they take those big hits. It's when they make those big jackpots that we can actually tell what challenges this person is facing. And then from there, we obviously help direct to the right path based on my personal experience. And, you know, I can tell who has an ego issue. I can tell who has a fear problem, you know, from those workshops.
That's amazing. And, you know, that's the thing. I speak with a lot of educators and everybody's so focused on, you know, technical analysis and fundamentals and these type of things. But I don't think as an industry, we put enough emphasis on the psychology of trading, because I don't care how accurate your technicals are, your trading signals, your fundamental predictions. If you don't master the psychology of trading, you're never going to be successful.
So 100%.
It's quite interesting. For you, Alex, your majority of the education that you're doing, it's, you said it's for beginners, but is it, you know, you're targeting a younger audience? Is that your kind of target group, or do you have a mix?
Yeah, mostly I target a young audience because they can relate with me
and my
daily life, you know.
Okay, so what does that mean though? How do you attract them? Or what do you do differently that attracts them versus, let's say, the more traditional type of educators?
Yeah, so it's basically being authentic with them, transparent, and I think they get to learn with your life, like you are living proof of what you're teaching them or what they're saying.
Got it.
Rather than when they are reading these things, or maybe they're watching them someone else. Then you see there's also an aspect of trust. They can trust you when you're telling them these things, because they can see you're living proof of, you know, what you're really teaching them.
I understand. So, but because this is kind of like the TikTok generation, do you find that your content needs to be much condensed and shorter in order to capture their attention, or how does that work?
Yeah, you have to be direct to the point and no lies, because, you know, with the technology, you don't just say something which you've not proved. Like when you're giving out data, you have to verify it and make sure it's accurate.
Mm.
And then again, it has to be short, because you see there's so much to consume on the media.
Yeah.
So you have to make sure that when they click on your video, they're really going to stay there. And for the few seconds they're going to be there, you make sure you communicate.
Got it. Yeah, I think this newer generation, they're far more sharp and savvy than we give them credit for. And for you, Nathan, how would you say that you balance showing success versus showing struggle?
So what I always do is I show both, but responsibly.
Okay.
In a way that I know for a fact that success inspires, but from where I come from, I kind of feel like struggles also inspire, and generally across the globe. Because it's when we show our struggles that you also get to connect with the vision. You get to understand how you should go about the actual life of trading, the actual, you know, way of conducting this business. Mm. At the same time, I have my ups and downs, but I always believe in the fact that honesty builds trust, mm-hmm. and that trust cannot be built if there isn't any credibility behind the actual content that's being created.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. And that's the thing. I mean, you see so many influencers, educators, you know, they're focusing on the lifestyle or all the success, but not showing kind of both sides of the coin. And I think that by doing so, it builds more credibility and trust, as you mentioned. For you, Alex, do you feel that social media sometimes pressures traders to look profitable rather than consistent? How does that look to you?
Yeah, sure. Especially, you know, with the so much fakeness on social media, where people edit their accounts and then they are flourishing, they are flipping accounts, when that's actually not true. So when you're authentic, now you have that pressure to also want to do the same. But I think being transparent, especially to your followers, to your audience, is actually a good thing. For example, when I'm executing trades with my community, I make sure I share everything, even my losses, my profits, because we do it as a community.
Got it. So for you, the transparency means showing profits, showing the good and the bad at the same time.
Yeah, it's actually like that. Bad days, good days, green days, red days, you know. Show them everything transparent. That way they'll trust you more.
I respect that. Nathan, you've talked about trading revealing who you really are. Trading is a mirror, as you said. It shows what you're trying to escape. Can you kind of expand on that? I think it's quite fascinating. And I believe our audiences would love to understand that a little better.
So trading is a mirror to me, in a sense, because I feel I'm a direct representation of what I do. Even when it comes down to entirely operating, even if it wasn't trading, if I'm operating in a different field, it would be a direct representation of everything that I have been and everything that's, you know, brought me to the position that I am today. And all of that just streams from my past. And it's when you get to be in a position where you are able to understand yourself that you actually even outperform the rest. So if you would want to outperform yourself, it's more of a scenario where you want to really look within, right? Deal with everything that's inflicting you within, then most likely you outperform and you do a whole lot better.
Interesting. So, and you know, guys, with as both of you know, with the amount of content that's created online, there's so many type of, let's say, questionable ways of people to attract audiences from maybe unethical ways or just, you know, clickbait, if you will. How do you stay relevant in this type of situation? I mean, how do you still attract your audiences considering all this noise in the background? Over to you, Nathan.
I think it's just best to tell the authentic story. And I have told my story from the beginning, authentic as it has been. It's always when something is not told, something is left, a small segment of the story is left, that it becomes questionable. Mm-hmm. So I kind of feel like it's sad that social media rewards highlights and not habits. And I kind of feel like habits is what really builds the mindset and, you know, builds the discipline of a person. And I talk of things like routines, daily routines and all these things. But again, I can't talk about them if I haven't lived them, right? So I try to keep it authentic. I try to shy away from trying to, you know, not be truthful about my journey. Mm-hmm. And it also makes it easy for me to create my content because when I'm authentic, it's an easy flow.
Naturally. Alex, from your end, with all these other content creators out there that are just doing BS, how do you navigate that and how do you address that?
Yeah, I think it's by being authentic. If I'm speculating, I'll tell my audience, for this data, I'm speculating, it's not a fact. If it's a fact, I've proved it, it's a fact. And then I mostly verify data before posting. Again, I choose, I think, value over virality, where most creators just choose to go viral, so many views, but no value in the content. I just choose value over virality.
I love that. Value over virality.
Yeah. Got it. And then consistency.
Got it. I would admit this is a much more sustainable way to work, I'm sure. And
yeah. But now we find more creators have consistency without direction, like where you just keep posting every day, but your content has no value. Whereas someone else might just post once a week, but our audience will relate with the content and they'll still be loyal to you. And again, it's through learning publicly, because when you learn publicly, people will see that journey and they'll relate, and then definitely they'll hop in.
You said a great word, Alex, which is loyalty. I would imagine because you guys are so upfront and transparent that you've this loyalty that you're allowing you to build a community of traders.
Yeah.
Speaking of community and connection, as you know, XNES, we've expanded our footprint in Sub-Saharan Africa. We've opened our Cape Town office. And, you know, obviously we're strategically looking at this region as kind of the new frontier for the company. And we really want to accelerate the growth that we're seeing. And obviously for content creators to become more locally grounded. How does being, you know, a local presence impact your traders or you guys as content creators? I'll pass it to you, Nathan.
I think it shows commitment to this region. It's building trust in a sense. Mm-hmm. And the ecosystem of trading in Africa is growing rapidly. Mm-hmm. And having an operational hub just makes it even better and easy for operation in terms of traders have where they can point and go to mm-hmm. if they have any issues, right? We've always lived in a place where, you know, if you are not physical, then it's a little bit hard for people to actually build trust. I come from a place where if you don't have a physical space, no matter how online you are, you don't really have any ground to hold.
Yeah.
So I kind of feel like it's that those collaborations and that are being built, you know, like community collaborations, mm-hmm. That makes it very easy in a sense. So I would say that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, look, as much as this business is our business is online, there's still in this region much needed offline presence and the face-to-face interactions, being at events, local office space, et cetera. From your end, Alex, would you say that having, let's say, local presence impacts the business for you or does it make a difference for your traders?
Yeah, especially when we mention something to do or maybe something to do with scams, because, and you know, as Africans, I don't know why we've been labeled as always a bit behind of the other continents, but now you see I'm seeing so many African traders who have actually gone to even international levels.
Yeah.
So when this local audience or this local youngings see such things, they really motivate them, and then they bring an aspect of trust because this is my brother who has gone to those levels. So it's also possible for me to do.
I support that.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, Alex. Where do you see the next evolution of financial content in Africa? More collaboration, more education, more entertainment. What's kind of the next frontier?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a big thing because so many African traders are collaborating with international traders. Of course, we are international, right? But I mean from other continents. And we have financial, actually, officers, people from Africa who are educating, actually, people in international level. So yeah. I think the future is so bright and we can't wait, you know.
So you see, the next phase is going to be just more, the content is going to be more for the international market, not just the regional market.
Yeah. I'm actually more focused on getting to international levels because
okay.
I think on the regional levels, we've tapped all the areas we could have. And then
yeah.
I see a lot of room for improvement, especially for us.
I'm in agreement. I speak with, you know, a lot of influencers, as you may know. And I always ask them, you know, why are you limiting yourself to one country code?
Yeah.
You know, there's a full world of people that want the education, and assuming that you can deliver it in a language that they can understand, it's, you know, there's so many opportunities.
Yeah, I think it's been an issue of maybe linguistic because, you know, some international markets, you have to learn their local language mm-hmm. for you to communicate with them.
Yeah.
So we are limited maybe to countries where you share a language.
Sure.
Yeah. More like an entry barrier.
Yeah, yeah.
You have a barrier of entry.
Yeah, but you see with technology, you can learn those languages.
Like, yes,
exactly. 100%. This is what I'm thinking as well with obviously all these tools that we have now. Language is no longer
a problem.
Yeah.
It's no longer a problem.
Yeah. So where do you see the next evolution of financial content in Africa? So you guys have taken it to the next level because before it was just kind of this formal education. Mm-hmm. You've created some sort of like kind of entertainment element to it mm-hmm. to really kind of capture the audience. So you guys sound like you're ahead of the game, but you know, what would you say potentially would be the next prediction for you for delivering this content?
More shared experiences, more collaborations, telling...
By between who? Between the trader and the educators, or...
Between the trader, the educators, okay. And of course the
traders
firms.
And traders.
Yeah, traders and traders.
Traders and traders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually one thing that I feel that's, you know, somewhat lacking is not enough trading communities. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the trading communities that I see, they're not necessarily used for kind of positive, mm-hmm. you know, maybe for complaints or sharing problems or these things, but not really mm-hmm. sharing their, you know, some of their experiences and kind of improving together collectively. You know, I think that shared experiences can go such a long way to help people, and we can see people to be more successful.
It tells the story better as well.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Now, obviously, we're talking kind of about technology and, you know, languages being kind of a barrier to entry. But for you, Alex, how do you see, you know, technology shaping the way that we tell our stories between, you know, AI tools, content automation, podcast? How do you see technology shaping the way we tell our stories?
Yeah, I think technology has become a vital tool, you know, where in all aspects, in learning, creating content, especially in learning, you don't, if you're a beginner, let's say, for example, you don't need to wait for someone to teach. You can just opt to a podcast, mm-hmm. Go get some, or use just even Chatty to learn. There are some creators who really want privacy, like they want to pass or do the content or to pass, do content, sorry, and but they don't want maybe to reveal their faces.
Sure.
So technology gives you a room to maybe, you know, you can edit your voice, edit the video, and you don't have to shoot the visuals with your devices. You can just actually get them from online.
Sure, but do you feel that maybe the content creator that is using their image and their real voice, that maybe they're going to be more credible than the anonymous person?
Yeah, definitely. Because you see, our industry is mostly known for scams.
Yeah.
So it's easy for the audience to relate with you when they can hear your real voice, they can see your real face.
Yeah.
And they can see your real life. Yeah. So I think it's also good to embrace that.
I agree with that. And on your end, Nathan, how do you feel about that with this poll, all these new AI tools and automations and, you know, with the content creation? How do you see that in the future? And how do you feel that kind of positively or negatively is impacting the industry?
Well, there's more positives than negatives to it.
Okay.
So in as much as we have all this tech and AI and so on, which could be either used to or against our advantage, mm-hmm. I kind of feel like, you know, the human story still remains the heart of things.
Sure.
You can't dilute it. You can't replace it. Tech is just helping us enhance the whole process. You know, it enhances the whole idea of us communicating better. Mm-hmm. Right now, our stories can be told in a much more enhanced and better way. You know, the times where I'm recording and telling my story, mm-hmm. and I still get to use AI to sort of like plan how I'm going to deliver my story, right? Doesn't take away the authenticity side of things, but again, it just makes it easy. And the word is it being enhanced, right? It makes everything, you know, much more easier.
Makes sense. So let me ask you this, guys, you know, this, you know, content creation, it's amazing. It's become like an industry and it's become like a career path for some people. Mm-hmm. In case in point, you, both of you gentlemen, you're doing this full time, I imagine.
Yeah.
If I am a young person and I'm a trader or I'm a future entrepreneur and I want to do content creation, what would be one word of advice, Nathan, that you would give me to kind of start my journey?
I would say consistency. It doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be delivered timely. Every now and then.
Okay.
It's more of the growth aspect of things. The more you do it, the more other people grow through it. So the word is consistency. Just
consistency.
Do it, right? You don't have to wait for that moment where you perfect it. Because when you wait too long, it might be too long for it to actually be perfected, right? I would say we live in a world that's, you know, not even perfect in a sense.
Sure.
So consistency beats perfection at all times.
Consistency builds perfection. Okay.
Yep.
Alex, for you, what would be one point of advice that you would give for the young content creator or future content creator?
Yeah, I'd go with value again, because there are so many creators, especially on TikTok.
Yeah.
But most of them are just for the views. They're just doing things or videos, which when you watch, it's a 1 minute video maybe, but there's no value. So my advice to young creators would be focus on value.
Got it.
Value.
Yeah, I love that. How long have you been doing this now, Alex?
This is my sixth year.
6 years. Okay. So if you could go back to Alex 6 years ago, what is something you would tell yourself then to do differently?
Yeah, especially in the content. I think I was just posting just out of boredom.
Got it.
Without direction. So I think my advice to Alex 6 years ago would be post something that has value and is relatable to the audience. Then again, consistency, authenticity, and clarity.
And Nathan, how long have you been doing this now?
Content, I would say roughly 5 years.
If you could go back to yourself 5 years ago and tell yourself to do something different or give yourself a word of advice, Nathan, 5 years ago, what would that be?
I would say I would better show most of my struggles and just, you know, understand where I was at the time. And of course, one of the biggest inspirations as to why I started trading was because I had financial struggles around me. And even when I got into trading, it's not like those financial struggles had stopped entirely, you know, at the time I started. But I'd rather tell more of that story even in the present time, just like I do. And I would do the same back in the days. It's more when you tell both sides of that story that obviously makes it even more authentic, right? I kind of feel like even going forward, I want to tell, you know, my bads. I mean, I want to tell my goods and my bads to my story. So it actually makes it all even more authentic. But again, I would rather say every time I was a little bit in a down moment, I kind of feel like if I would share that, it would bring more inspiration to the upcoming generation. And it would obviously help them pick themselves up and obviously be in the right track as well.
All right, gentlemen. So it's clear that the new trader isn't just about skill. It's about the story. How you tell it, who connects with it, and how people learn from it. So it seems like you guys have mastered this very well. And I want to thank you for your time. This has been enlightening and very enjoyable for me. So thank you so much, Nathan. Thank you, Alex.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thanks for tuning into Born to Trade. If you missed the previous season, we explored what it really means to be born to trade, from mindset and control to the emotional side of success. This season, we're going deeper. Real traders, real stories, and the lessons that shape how we think, act, and grow in the markets. Follow Born to Trade on YouTube, Spotify, or wherever you listen, and stay tuned for the next episode as we continue exploring the evolution of traders, not just in skill, but in mindset.